So I kind of felt directed today to ask if anybody in this room has ever experienced healing that you would like to share with us, that you would like to tell us about. Because, you know, there's a whole thing right now. A lot of people say, well, healing was great for Jesus, but it doesn't happen today. But if you have something you want to share, I might need the handheld mic, Jerry, if you don't mind, if anybody volunteers. If not, I have a testimony ready in the waiting. But if anybody has a testimony, raise your hand so you can tell us about it. Anybody? Okay, Alma, help us out. He's coming. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, everyone. Mm-hmm. I do have a testimony, and I have been giving this testimony to a lot of people since this happened to me. And it's something that, you know, you never expect things like that to happen to you, but they do. And it's for the glory of God.
Yeah.
So one time I went to a conference at work, and for 2 days I got home, getting ready to go to bed. And I started experiencing like this horrible toothache, you know. So I knew my teeth were fine because I go to the dentist, I get it checked and cleaned and maintained. So I was... I'm living with Carly, and I told Carly, I said, Carly, I have this horrible pain. She's like, well, take some Tylenol. And I said, I did, but it's not working out. So she's like, okay, give it some time to work. And if it doesn't work, you know, we'll take it to the emergency room. And I said, okay. So I went back to bed. Like 10 minutes after, I called her, and I was in tears. I have 4 children without epidural. And this pain was worse than labor pain. So she and Natalie run to, you know, she drove to the house. And they took me to the emergency room. And the doctor said, it's trigeminal neuralgia. And what that is it's the nervous system, right? Behind our ear, we have our motherboard of nerves. It was triggering a nerve in my jaw that was causing that pain. And the doctor said, we don't really have medication for that. The scientists haven't like found out what can cure that. So she gave me some Tylenol and, you know, ibuprofen and some other medication that they give people that have seizures, because I guess they have found out that that kind of helps, but it doesn't take it away. So they sent me home. That was Wednesday. All Thursday I was in bed. I called off and I said, I can't go to work. I was in bed. The medication would only last like 15, 20 minutes, and then I wake up, and I had to take another 1,000 milligrams of medication to pass out from the pain. And I got tired of just taking painkiller after painkiller with yogurt, right? So I got on my knees, you know, remembered. Mm-hmm. I got on my knees, and I said, Lord, I've seen your power in my life. You healed me from this and that and the other. This is nothing for you. Like, I know you can heal me. I don't need this medication. I know you can just come and take it away. Your overpowering healing, your supernatural healing. It's real, you know? And sometimes we talk to him and we pray to him, we sing to him, but we don't realize that he is real. He's right here next to us. We just can't see him with our fleshly eyes. So I said, the word says that, I called upon the word. I'm like, the word says that you were crucified not only to give us everlasting life, but to get rid of all our sicknesses. This is a sickness, Father. Like, I'm not going to end up like a vegetable. Mm-hmm. They call it a suicidal sickness because the pain is so strong and there's no medication that people kill themselves. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm not going to end up like that. I have a Father that can heal me. So I'm like, I'm going to go downstairs. I'm going to make me some breakfast, and I know the pain's going to go away. I made me some eggs. By the second egg, the healing started. Mm. The swelling started coming down, and the pain went away. Mm. I had a business trip that I had already bought the tickets for. It was for Monday. And I said, okay, I started putting worship music, and I just started in my zone and started worshiping the Lord and confessing that that was already healed, the pain was gone, and it would never come back. Okay, so I told my supervisors, I told everybody at work. Some probably believed me, some probably didn't, but I believe me. I know what happened. I know what I experienced. Okay, so the miracles are every day.
Yes.
People just don't talk about them,
yes,
but we need to. Since that day, I don't even know how many people I've told. I told my lender I'm buying a house. I told my lender over the phone. She was crying.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple. My realtor, her husband is so messed up. And I told him, I said, God, I experienced something and I want to share with you.
Amen.
I want everybody to know that God is real. He exists. He's powerful. He's, you know, his supernatural healing is real.
Yes.
So if you're experiencing any sickness in your life, mm-hmm, anything that comes your way, like, he can take care of it.
Amen.
So I just want to let you know that.
Yes. Thank you, Alma. Woo. I know that is a very real problem. That illness is very real. My niece had it for 3 years, and it was really, really bad. But she's healed now through a doctor who did a procedure on her, actually. So thank God for healing of all forms, right? That is beautiful, Amma. Thank you. So God, we ask you for more healings. God, we are just crazy enough to keep on asking. We're not going to stop just because one person might not get healed the first time we ask. We're going to keep on asking, God. And so we pray also for a greater awareness of when you're calling us to pray for someone who needs healing. Open our spiritual eyes to see. Open our spiritual ears to hear when you're calling us to pray for someone to be healed. And God, I also want to thank you for the offering that comes in today. I pray for great joy to fall on every believer as they invest into Oak River. I pray that it would just be radical joy, that they would find themselves laughing as they write the check because they have so much joy. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Kim, we're going to mix it up. Sorry. We're going to get rid of the polls. I'm not going to do the polls today. Wanted to give you a notice on that. I just feel like it doesn't fit today. I had a couple of fun polls planned, but it doesn't fit. So we'll do it another time. Thanks for being flexible with me. So we're going to continue talking about Jesus as Son of God. Jesus as Son of God. How impossible that is. The challenge with talking about Jesus as Son of God is that we have to get past the natural Jesus, Son of Man, to fully embrace him as Son of God. In Matthew 13, there were some people who said, where did this man get his wisdom and authority to do miracles? He's only the son of a carpenter. That's what they said. You see, they could not get past the fact that he was just a bloke who they knew walking around the village from the time that he was little, and they knew he had natural parents, the carpenter, his mother was Mary, and although we have great honor for Mary, in those days they didn't, and probably there was actually talk about Mary. Did you know she was pregnant before they got married? Like, yeah. So they could not get past that natural, and so they refused to accept Jesus, the Son of God. And the Bible tells us that because of that one thing, Jesus didn't do many miracles in his hometown because they couldn't get past the natural to fully embrace him as Son of God. Today we're going to talk about two different ways that we see Jesus was Son of God. First of all, only the Son of God could be perpetual light. I had originally said eternal light, and I emailed Ron about Friday, I think, and I said, let's change the word eternal to perpetual. Because we hear the word eternal, and we think somewhere in the great by and by, in the sweet by and by. But Jesus is perpetual light here and now and in the great beyond. I totally believe that. If there's any part of your life that feels dark, If there's any part of your heart that feels dark, if there's any part of your mind that feels dark, when you hear this testimony that's amazing, if there's any part of you that goes, well, that's great for her, but that's never worked for me, that's a little bit of darkness that Jesus wants to blast his light into. In Luke 1, 78 through 79, Zechariah is prophesying over his son John. And he says this, oh, I love this passage so much. Because he not only prophesies over John, he talks about Jesus in this passage. He says, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine on those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. As I studied that and meditated on it this week, I could not get past the phrase tender mercy. And normally when I get stuck on a phrase like that, it's because God wants me to dig a little deeper into the original Greek meaning in the New Testament. And so I did that, and I found some good stuff. It's a feeling of deep sympathy with a desire and an ability to relieve the miserable. That's good, right? But I knew there was more. And I'm like, God, what do you want to show me about tender mercy? Tender mercy. Because God poured out his tender mercy on us when he sent Jesus as the Son of God, who is perpetual light. So I meditated on it some more. And pretty soon, I remembered a scene from Call the Midwife. Now, if you are a watcher, you know how good that show is. And there's this scene in that show, I think it's season 5 or 6, one of those seasons, I can't remember, where this woman gives birth to a severely malformed baby, Baby Susan. They named her later. The baby was so deformed that they wouldn't even let the mom see her. They whisk her away because the baby looked perfect in the face, but had no arms, had little stubs with kind of fingers, but not really on both sides, and had no legs, only kind of feet, but very deformed feet. So they whisk the baby away, and the doctor called the local hospital, and the hospital said, she probably won't live through the night, just put her in a nursery and let her die, right? So Dr. Turner was grieved by that, but would not show the mom. They didn't want her to deal with it, you know? So he put her in a room, but he sat with her. And she sat quietly, all tucked up in a blanket all night. And then long about morning, she started crying. And he picked her up and said, ah, you want to live. And so he fed her. Then at some point, they had to have the conversation with the mom and say, okay, she's like, I want to see my baby. Where's my baby? I want to see my baby. I want to hold her. And finally, they had a conversation with her and said, listen, your baby is very, very malformed, and we don't know if she's going to live, and if she does, she's probably going to have to be in an institution. And the mom said, bring me my baby. So they brought her, and she was all wrapped up in a blanket, and it just, it wrenches my heart. In a good way, because they brought the baby, and she had some time alone with her, and she opened the blanket. First, she just looked at her face, and she said, oh, she smells like my other two. And then she opened the blanket, and it took her breath away. How badly malformed little baby Susan was. But she never looked at her with revulsion. She just went, and then she said, looking right into the baby's face, she said, oh, love, what a mess. What a mess, eh? Then she lifted off the feet, the blanket off the feet. She said, we'll sort something out, I promise, because you're mine. Mine, and I'm not bailing out on you. So when I thought of God's tender mercy, I imagined if God took the earth in his arm and he said, oh, love, what a mess. What a mess, eh? But we'll sort something out because you're mine and I'm not bailing out on you. That's tender mercy. Baby Susan's mom went on to fight to love her baby and keep her at home. And she lived well. Because of God's tender mercy, the sunrise from on high. Do you not love that phrase? The sunrise from, I mean, what is it about sunrise? When I go to the beach with my siblings and my mom every year, one of our favorite things to do is get up and watch the sunrise. And you have to get up early, you know, but it's so worth it because there's something about sunrise that changes everything. Today's the first day of spring. Whoop, whoop. I don't care if it's snowing. Whoop, whoop. I'm wearing my green. I'm celebrating spring, right? Can you imagine a perpetual spring? A perpetual sunrise from on high. But then the scripture tells us why. Why did God in his tender mercy send the Son of God to be perpetual light? Here's why. And he quotes from Isaiah. Zechariah quotes from Isaiah from more than 700 years earlier. To shine on those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. To shine. And why else? To guide our feet to the path of peace. I imagine this spotlight from the Son of God who is perpetual light and going, here, this way, go this way. This is the path. Oh, wait, go this way now. This is the path to peace. Only the Son of God. A son of man could not be perpetual light, but a son of God is perpetual light. Over in John 12, 35 and 36, so Jesus said to them, for a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light. He's talking about himself. He's calling himself perpetual light here. So that the darkness will not overtake you. Also, the one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. Woo, have you ever been there before? I have. That's when I call on Jesus. Okay, Jesus, I know Alma has a big decision she has to make. It feels dark to her, like, I don't know which one I'm supposed to do. It feels like if I go this way, it's wrong. Jesus can bring light into that situation and give clarity on what her next step is. He can do it for you too. Then Jesus says in verse 36, while you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons of light. What? Jesus says, while you have me with you, I'll shine for you. But after I'm gone, you're gonna shine. I love that. Light is the opposite of darkness, of course. Duh. That doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure that one out, right? But it's also, the way it's used in this passage, it's also underived from any other source. It's not just flip on a flashlight, light a candle. It is a light that creates light by itself. That nothing acts upon it to create light. It's not a candle or a bonfire that gets its light from somewhere. It's not a light made by man. Where Jesus is, there is light. In John 12, 46, Jesus says, I have come as light into the world so that no one who believes in me will remain in darkness. That word believe, we have watered it down and simplified it to such a degree that it's not the same meaning. We tend to think of believe as, oh, I think there is a God. Yeah. I think there is a God or whatever. I think there is a source, you know, whatever. That's not what it's talking about in that passage. Believe in that passage means to rely on, to put trust into. a self-surrendering fellowship or companionship. Fully assured and unswerving confidence. Jesus says, if you rely on me, if you put trust in me, you won't remain in darkness. You will find light. Then over in 2 Corinthians 4, 6 through 7, Paul writes, for God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Whew. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. I am so thankful that we serve a God who doesn't expect us to be perfect to shine. In fact, if you look at a fragile clay jar, you shine better in the broken places because light comes through, right? It says right there, this makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. If it were up to the fragile clay jar, we would be in trouble because every time it got broken, it wouldn't shine as well. But every time we're broken, if we let God use it, if we let God use it, we shine brighter than ever before. We just keep getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Only the Son of God could be perpetual light. In describing heaven, John the Apostle said this in Revelation 21 through 23, and the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. Can you imagine? The only light source needed in heaven is Jesus, the Lamb, the Son of God. He shines enough for all of heaven. Wow, I love that. Only the Son of God could be perpetual light. There's no human teacher that could do that. There's no bloke who could do that. Only the Son of God could be perpetual light. But also, only the Son of God can be perpetual bread. So last week I promised bread, right? You get bread this week. But it's not just any old bread. It's sweet bread, because that's the kind I like. So it's basically cake. So Stephanie and some helpers are going to pass that out at this time. If you want to eat it now, you can eat it now. Or if you want to save it for after lunch, I don't understand that at all. But it's your business. Come on, get real. If you got the choice of eating dessert before or after a meal, how many befores do we have in the room? Thank you. Thank you. Before and after. Ron wants both. Okay. Yeah. That sounds like a good plan. In the South where I grew up, we literally had something sweet after every meal. Even if it was only a little bit, it would be something. When I was visiting my mom, is there music on? Why? During the bread? No, during communion later. That's all right. I'm like, am I here? Is God translating all of us to heaven? What's going on? That's awesome. When I was visiting my mom, most recently, a couple weeks ago, we would finish breakfast, be a decently healthy breakfast. She goes, every day, so what do you want sweet? I love my mama. I go, give me a couple of chocolate kisses or whatever. Just something a little bit sweet. Doesn't have to be a lot. So enjoy your sweet bread, cake. Yeah, enjoy. It's good, right? And hey, the oatmeal pie. Is that an oatmeal pie? No, that's a honey bun. Honey's good. It's good. Not right now, thanks. Honey's good for you, right? So not only is Jesus the Son of God perpetual light, he is perpetual bread. That snack you have in your hand will come and go. Well, in my case, it comes and stays. Sadly, I look at a piece of cake and I gain weight. I mean, really, it's so sad. But it's my cross to bear. Yeah, really. a few weeks ago, I decided, this is way off course, I decided to just experiment and see what would happen if I gave up all sugar, all cheese, that is a huge sacrifice for me, I'm just saying, and all wheat products, all in the same 7-day period. I just wanted to see how I'd feel, right? I did feel pretty good, actually, after day three. The first 3 days were pretty brutal, but after day three, I felt pretty good. Yeah, I lost 1.5 pounds.
Not worth it.
Exactly. No, no. No, I will have one of the cakes later, I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. So perpetual bread, though, is different. John 26 through 27 says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I gave you some fish and bread. Not because you understood the miraculous signs, but don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. The Son of God and the Son of Man, all wrapped up in one. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. The word understood in that passage means to see the full impact. To get it, to know, to perceive, to see the significance. He goes, you don't see the significance of the miracles I'm doing. You think I'm just doing good things, but you don't understand the reason behind it. And then eternal. Oh, I love that. That phrase eternal that he uses, spend your life seeking the eternal life, life that moves with time, that's not linear. It moves with time. Jeremy Baramy, if you've ever watched A Good Place. If not, you won't get that, but that's okay. Time, it moves with time. It doesn't change. It doesn't end. It doesn't start. It doesn't end. It just keeps going. It's eternal. From this life to the next, the whole thing. So then Jesus went on to talk about manna, because he said, you're following me because I fed you. He said, you know, you're like the children of Israel, who Moses, you know, or God provided manna to, and they're like, okay, give us that manna. Prove to us you're the Son of God. Give us that manna. And he's like, oh, I can just see him going, oh, come on. I know he was God, but he was also man, and he probably got frustrated at that point. I'm just thinking. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. That is the first of Jesus' 7 I am statements in John. So we hear I am, and we don't think much about it. I am a daughter. I am a sister. I am a friend. I am a great aunt. I am an aunt. I am a niece. You know, I'm a grandma. Woo! I'm a Grammy. Right? We hear that. When his listeners heard him say, I am the bread of life, he used the word I am, Yahweh. Yahweh, bread of life. So they knew what he was saying is, I am God who becomes the bread, the perpetual bread that you can eat from forever. They were fine with him saying, calling himself Son of Man, but when he said this, their cages got rattled. They got mad, and from that point forward, they began plotting his execution. Because he said, I am Yahweh, making himself equal with God. Now, there are 7 I am statements of Jesus in John. I'm going to pop the slide up there. Take a picture if you want to see it and do a Bible study on it. We're not going to talk about it today, but it's really good. So here are the 7 I am statements that he made. We're going to pop them all up. Is that 7? Is that 6? I think there's one more. Oh, no. I am the true vine. I didn't send you the last one. I am the true vine is the last one. It's John 15, 1 through 5. So take a picture of that and do some study on it. If we're going to follow Jesus this year, then you need to study what Jesus said about himself so we can follow him well, right? But we're not going to go into those today, although Ron next week is going to do I am the way, the truth, and the life. So that'll be good. Not only was Jesus saying, hey, I'm God, but he was also saying he was essential for real life. If you want to live and live well, you need Jesus. In being perpetual bread, Jesus satisfies our hunger for righteousness. Do you know we're all born with a hunger for righteousness? It's in our DNA. God made us in his image, so we are born craving righteousness. But Jesus came along and said, I'm going to satisfy that hunger. I'm going to become righteousness for you. And then you don't have to crave it. John 6, 41 through 42, then the people began to murmur in disagreement because he had said, I am the bread of heaven, or that came down from heaven. They said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? There it is again, the natural interfering with the supernatural. It's so easy to do. It's so easy. If I came to you today and I said, God has spoken to me and said he's going to use Joe Biden to bring peace to the earth, and it's going to be from God. How many of you, don't raise your hand, would have a hard time getting past the natural? Maybe none of you would. But maybe if I said, God is going to use Donald Trump to bring peace to the earth, you'd probably have some trouble with that. Because we have a hard time getting past the natural to the supernatural. And that's what happened with Jesus. They're like, hey, we know his father and his mother. How can he say I came down from heaven? In John 6, 47 through 51, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and this bread, which I offer so the world may live, is my flesh. Oh, he wasn't talking about cannibalism there. Again, that's reverting to the natural instead of the supernatural. He was talking about my substance. What I'm made up of is light and life. That's what I'm made up of. And then he was saying, I offer perpetual light and perpetual bread to anyone who believes me. Communion is our time to remember that. So I'm going to give you, now is the music, thank you. We're going to turn on some soft music, and you're going to, if you would like to participate, go and pick up your cup, and then we'll take communion together.
Thank you.
paper in your hand and look at it. And take a moment and remember that Jesus became perpetual bread for us. There are times when, have you ever been hungry for something but you didn't know what it was? And you kind of ransack your pantry and your fridge and get a taste of this and a taste of that and nothing satisfies? Jesus always satisfies. He always satisfies. God, we thank you for the bread and what it represents. We thank you that Jesus was willing to let his body be broken so that we could be whole, saved, delivered. Thankful. I'm so thankful that Jesus is the bread of life that never ends. It never ends. Even when I get busy, when I get tired, whatever, I just sit with for a moment with Jesus and he satisfies. So we take this bread together and we say thank you. I love what the juice represents too so much. I value that when we look at the juice, we remember that Jesus made us into new people. The old is gone, the new has come. Because of the shedding of his blood, we were able to become sons and daughters of the Most High God. After he was resurrected and he told the ladies in the garden, he said, go and tell my disciples, my Father and your Father. You see the change there? My Father and your Father. Oh, I'm so thankful. We're going to get into it next month with a theme called The Lamb. But it was more than just forgiving our sins, although that would have been enough. It was more than that. It was about giving us a different life here on earth and in the days to come beyond life. Oh, I'm so thankful. Thank you, God, for the juice and all that it represents. I think we haven't even seen the tip of the iceberg of the impact of the blood of your son. But God, we celebrate it nonetheless, and we remember today. We remember, and we say thank you. Let's take the juice. Amen. Amen. The light and the bread, both. He is the light and the bread. Kathy and Betty, it's so good to see you guys. I haven't seen you in a while. Dave, you too. You just had to sandwich yourself right in the middle of them, right? I love it. I love it. Good to see you guys. So we have 12 ladies from our church this year going to the Castle Retreat. Whoop, whoop. It's going to be so fun. But Stephanie would like to meet with you right up here following the service to go over a couple of details with you. So if you're going next week, come and meet with Stephanie after the service. Next week here, Ron Proper's bringing a message that's going to be so good called The Way, the Truth, and the Life. He's been giving me little snippets of it. It's going to be awesome. So if you're here, you need to come. It's going to be great. Have a wonderful week, and I will see you in 2 weeks, unless you're going to the castle with me. Love you guys.